Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, welcome back to How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast. This week's guest comes with a whole host of knowledge around something I find quite fascinating, surrogacy. This is a role I don't think I have in me and requires a lot of strength and love and passion for making dreams come true for parents. So without further ado, and to hear more about it, it's the fabulous Rachel Westbury. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And welcome to the podcast. I am so excited for this conversation. Before we press record, we were already talking about it and I was like, stop, wait for the recording. I want to hear more on there. I need to capture this.
Yeah, that's me. I don't stop talking.
Oh no, but it's such a fascinating subject. Before we crack on and delve into it, I just wanted to ask you, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very well. Yeah, busy and... everything's good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel good today. Are you pregnant at the moment?
No, I'm not at the moment. I'm on a break and quite busy with the agency, so still something that I'm considering. Never say never. But I at the moment it's quite busy and quite a difficult and long pregnancy last time round, so definitely right. Taking a break that I needed.
Okay, amazing. Gosh, this is so fascinating. So I literally don't even know where to start. So your agency is called Nappy Endings, right?
Yeah.
And you're based in the UK and America?
Yeah, we're based in both. We only recently launched in America. We actually had to kind of adapt the name very slightly for America. So it's called Ness Agency in America because nappy doesn't mean the word that it does in the UK. It's quite a derogatory word.
Oh yeah, diaper.
Yeah, and nappy is quite an offensive word. So we've kind of gone with the initials Nappy Ending Surrogacy Agency and called it Nessa over in America, but in the UK, yeah, Nappy Endings.
Amazing. So let's start with you because I have so many questions and I just like, let's just go back to basics. Rachel, tell me about you. What made you want to become a surrogate in the first place? What is your story?
I saw a thing about it, a documentary when I was really young on surrogacy, and I was just quite fascinated. And growing up, I've always been interested and fascinated around pregnancy and all that side of it. Always wanted to be a mum, became a mum when I was 29. Ended up becoming a single mum, which obviously wasn't planned when my son was two, and knew then that I kind of didn't want to expand my family, but I also didn't want my whole pregnancy journeys to end. Not that I love being pregnant, because I tend to moan the whole way through. it's just something that really fascinates me. And I was at my parents', fast forward a few years, my son was about six, and another documentary came on, it was actually my mum and my dad that we were sitting there watching it, and my mum said, you know, if it's something you really want to do, like, you know, now's the time, you know, like you're in your mid-30s to start looking into it. So I was at work, I worked for just an insurance company, health insurance, and I Googled surrogacy, and from that moment up until literally 1 year later, I delivered twins. It was that quick. Doesn't always happen that quick for everybody. There's two types of surrogacy. There's traditional, where you use your own eggs and it's done via home insemination, or there's a gestational, where you use either embryos created via egg donors or by the intended parents' own eggs and genetics. I did traditional surrogacy to begin with, and yeah, just loved it straight away. I was hooked. Met a lovely couple, and had a little boy and a girl, and they turned 9 a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, just for me, it was great. It gave me everything that I wanted to be able to do to help people that desperately wanted children. Some of the stories that you hear behind their reasons are heartbreaking. Not everyone has experienced heartache that comes to surrogacy, but a lot have. And for me, it was ideal. I could help other people and still be able to be in the whole pregnancy fertility world without having to expand my family, which I didn't want to do.
Yeah, gosh, it's amazing. It's amazing how you just felt this, like you were drawn to it quite young. So yeah. It's almost like it was meant for you.
Yeah, definitely. It always fascinated me from the minute I heard about it. And then, let's say, when I had my son, it went to the back of my mind. But, you know, I was lucky to fell pregnant quickly with him. And, you know, after hearing the stories and seeing the battles people go through or their reasons of coming to surrogacy, everybody's got a right to be a parent, no matter what their reason is for coming to surrogacy. And I just had a huge passion from it from day one, and I still have a huge passion from it now. So I feel privileged to be part of other people's journeys, to be honest. People constantly thank me and, you know, and always say they're grateful, but I'm grateful too. And I thank them because I do feel it's a privilege to be on a journey with somebody.
Yeah, it's a gift, isn't it? Like, a baby is a gift, and for you to be able to support and provide a home for that baby to grow and then gift it to these parents must be really really like an honor.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it is. I do feel that, and it's sort of the intended parents always feel nervous when they meet the surrogate because they want to make a good impression and they want the surrogate to like them. But it's the same for a surrogate, you know. It's like, I want them to like me, and I want them to feel comfortable and safe and secure, knowing that, you know, I'll be able to carry the baby for them. And it is an honour, I feel like. And I never take it for granted. You know, it's... And with the agency now, I get to do it multiple times a day or a week, you know, sort of seeing people on their journeys, helping them on their journeys. It's just the same feeling as if I was carrying the baby and handing it over to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is the whole process then? Like, say if... a couple decided that they wanted to get a surrogate, or they that was their final option, or whatever the reason might be. Like, what is the process? How do you find the right surrogate for you?
Well, I mean, there's different, every agency has their different ways, and there's different options depending on the reasons why they've come to surrogacy, whether they're going to do traditional or gestational, whether they have embryos or intend on getting embryos created. But the first step normally is sort of, you know, do your research, and they sort of, you know, have a look into what's the right kind of fit and what they want for them and what they need for them. And then say, for example, with us, we do all checks on our surrogates, you know, and intended parents, background checks, health checks, etc. So they're safe and secure knowing that they're going on a journey with somebody who's okay to carry for them. They would apply to either an agency if they were going down that route and not independently. And some agencies have different methods of how they meet surrogates. They could possibly send their profile out to surrogates for a surrogate to select, or some have social like events where they go and kind of all meet together. Wow. I don't do that. I just feel, you know, I mean, everyone's journey and everyone's story is different and unique to themselves, but we have some people that have been through so much heartache, they can just about get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other. So I feel that, you know, we handle it a lot in a very respectful way, in a very sensitive way, in that we do the matching for them. So they'll come to us, they'll register with us and go on a waiting list. We give an average time of 6 to 9 months for a gestational carrier, normally 12 months for a traditional. Very hard to put an exact time frame on it, but we don't have a huge waiting list. And then we go through a series of, you know, chats and meeting the intended parents. Some have certain dietary requirements or travel requirements or religious requirements, whatever they, you know, want, we honour and we respect. Then once it comes to meeting their surrogate, they have an initial sort of meeting, like just an introduction, and kind of sort of like tell each other about their backgrounds. And like myself and my business partner, kind of, we're on the meeting with them, but we take a step back and let them kind of talk and just sort of guide the conversation if it gets a little bit, you know, nerve-wracking and awkward. And then they kind of get to know each other for a little while. And once they're happy, go through the agreements. There's a lot to cover, you know, any eventualities, fully informed, you know, assist them with their life insurance, the wills, et cetera, and all the things that they could need. And then, yeah, then they let their clinic know and they begin their journey of, you know, getting the surrogate prepared and ready for an embryo transfer. And we encourage everyone to be on the journey and as closely involved as possible, because it's nice for bonding reasons. And, you know, for me personally, as a surrogate, I knew straight away it was never my baby. It was never my pregnancy, never my journey. So I encourage everybody to kind of have that kind of approach if it suits them. And yeah, and then please God, all goes well, the baby's born. Once the baby's 6 weeks old, they then apply to the courts for a parental order. And then after sort of some various checks and stuff that's done, they get their court date, and then the parental order will be complete and both the intended parents' names go on the birth certificate. And yeah, they're a happy family.
Wow. So how come it's 6 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know why they have to wait 6 weeks. I mean, they have to wait 6 weeks for a parental order and a little bit longer for an adoption order. I think it's possibly maybe because they want to ensure that everybody's happy and everything like that. But hopefully, fingers crossed, in the UK, it's not a legally binding. None of the documents are legally binding, not the agreements that are signed. Surrogacy is very much based on trust in the UK. A surrogate can't get paid for being a surrogate. They can claim reasonable expenses, which would vary if you've got a surrogate who may be a single mum and who doesn't work, her expenses will be lower. If you've got a mum that works, you know, full time, then her expenses will be higher. But you can't actually get paid or profit from being a surrogate in the UK.
Right. Okay. So this is what I wanted to ask. So essentially in the UK, if you were to become a surrogate, you're simply doing it out of love.
Yeah, definitely. It has to be. It has to come from the heart.
It's not a vocation.
No. I mean, where we recently launched in the US, I mean, you can really see the difference in how it's very much, you know, more commercialized. It's, you know, surrogates can claim anything up to, you know, $80,000 for being a surrogate in compensation. They set their own compensation in America. So you get a lot more surrogates over there because of that side. But then they have pre-birth orders. So they don't have to wait the 6 weeks to apply for a parental order. It's already done by the time the baby's born. So over here, where there are no laws at the moment, which hopefully, please God, will change next year, that, you know, it has to come from the heart. Obviously they're compensated for, you know, travel, childcare, loss of earnings, their time, you know, some rest time afterwards after they've had the baby, but it has to be a reasonable amount of compensation.
Wow. And you mentioned earlier that dietary requirements, religion and things like that. What do you mean by that?
We might have some people that prefer either a kosher or halal diet. We have intended parents who have clinics abroad. We have intended parents that are abroad, or in Ireland or something. So sometimes a surrogate will be required to travel. that sort of thing.
All of that covered.
Some prefer an organic diet. If an intended parent requests a certain diet that's going to be more expensive, then they will obviously pay for that. We've had intended parents require nutritionists. You can have many different requests.
Wow. I'm just fascinated that maybe because I don't love being pregnant. And I feel really bad whenever I say that. I've only been pregnant once, and I'm hoping that my next pregnancy I enjoy more because I know what to expect. I think I just went into it a bit naive, and so for me, like, for someone to become a surrogate just out of love for giving that family who have gone through heartache, maybe that opportunity, I am in awe of that, and I think it's incredible. But I also think, oh my God, like, why would you want to get pregnant so many times and it's not your baby? Like, it's such it's a
really
selfish act. It's
just sitting and eat and moan at people and get them to run around after me. No, I just think I'm not the best fan of being pregnant. I suffered with awful morning sickness with the twins. My first pregnancy as a surrogate was twins, which was a huge shock. And that was a much more difficult pregnancy. But crazily, an easy labour. I managed to have a great labour and have them naturally. My son, again, morning sickness, and the fourth baby that I had. Again, I've suffered with morning sickness throughout them all. I managed to have a home birth, which was a great experience. I'm not the best at being pregnant, but just something that fascinated me. And on my last journey, that was done gestational, and I'd never done that. And that is what kind of opened my eyes up much more in depth to a whole new world of fertility, because I'd never experienced all the hormones, the injections, the medication, the constant scans and blood tests that people go through. And that is like a whole new world of fertility, and gave me an even bigger empathy and understanding of what people go through. And people come to me and say, we've had 10 failed IVF rounds. I'm like, wow, how have you gone through that? And then my first embryo transfer for a couple turned to an ectopic pregnancy. I had to have emergency surgery and a tube removed. I'm very honest about my journey, and I think it's important for intended parents and surrogates to know that just because it's a surrogacy journey, it's still a pregnancy like that carries any risk like any normal pregnancy could do. I want people to understand it can go completely smooth, or there can be a roller coaster, of emotions and bumps in the road. And that's why I'm there. My phone is on 24 hours a day to anyone that is with us that, needs support, that, just needs that friendly ear at the end of the phone, needs a bit of guidance. I don't give medical advice. I'm not, allowed to do that, but I share my own experience. The last baby that I had, he's now two. I've got sepsis in labour and woke up in intensive care. So I'm a real sort of advocate, and I'm very passionate about it, but I feel it's so important to inform everybody of the highs and the lows of it as well. Because to go into it with rose tinted glasses and think, just because I'm using a surrogate and she's previously had children, it's going to be perfect. That is what I use all the negatives that happened to me to try and help other people with. And like I say, it gave me a whole new understanding, which made me all the more passionate about nappy endings, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like goes to show, you hear about surrogacy and you think, oh, great, lovely. I'm not going to carry the baby. This is me talking from someone who can fall pregnant, which is amazing. Yeah. Like, because I know that for a lot of people it's the final option, but for some people it's their first option, right?
Yeah.
And they think, oh, someone else can carry it, great, I'm not going to go through X, Y, and Z in the pregnancy. But it's still another woman getting pregnant, carrying your baby. It still carries the same risk. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not all fairy tales necessarily. So that is really important and definitely something that needs to be spoken about. So I'm glad you've said that. And although we all know about surrogacy, it still feels like such a taboo. It still, for me, it still feels like I just can't believe, like, it happens. I don't know why. I just find it so fascinating.
I was the same. Honestly, I was like, the first time when we, you know, were about to start our first journey, I was like, this isn't going to happen. Like, you hear the word, but you don't think it's real. And you don't. And when it worked, I was like, wow, that actually does work. Like, you know, I totally get that. And it blew my mind that it was something that did work and everything. And there's a lot of misconceptions around it. You see a lot of soaps that cover it, but they're soap dramas. They don't cover the real side of it and the actual facts around it. I've yet to see one that does. And, you know, that's not putting it down because it's great to raise awareness, but I just feel, you know, there is, you know, it's an option, but it's not one that is commonly talked about. A lot of people think it's for the rich and famous, or people think it's for, you know, it's a real luxury. And I don't feel surrogacy should be a luxury. I feel, you know, everybody's got a right to be a parent, you know, no matter what their background, whether they're a pop star, a TV actress, or a cleaner. It doesn't matter what they do.
Do you think the media around Kim K, Robbie Williams and his wife Ada, I think her name is.
Ada.
Using a surrogate has probably made it seem like this luxury of, like, I think a lot of it is where people think it's because you don't want to change your body. You don't want to have put on that weight. You know, this whole bouncing back. And I think it can be associated with that a lot, with the rich and famous not wanting to, to change their body.
I definitely think
through all of that.
Yeah, 100%, I definitely think that, you know, yes, it's great because it's raised more awareness and it's got it more talked about and more known. If more was spoken about the reasons why, but everybody's entitled to keep their journeys personal, I get that. Some people also look on the outside and think, well, you've already got healthy children, why would you want more? But, you know, we have many people come to us that have children that just want to expand their family, and for health reasons can't expand their family themselves anymore. So, you know, yes, I think it probably has made it that little bit celebrity. There's the good and the bad. Yet, I also think that it's got the subject talked about. I just would love to now get people to understand the reasons why. And, you know, like I've been able to do media, I've been able to promote and talk about surrogacy off the back of, you know, them sharing, like, you know, their kind of, like, you know, that they've had new children, new babies via a surrogate. But, you know, obviously there's still a lack of understanding and there's still a lot of misconceptions that, you know, it is for the rich and famous, it is for the privileged. And like you say, it's like, you know, we can get a designer baby and get somebody else to carry it for us.
Yeah.
And I definitely think there is that, you know, misconception around it, definitely.
I must admit, like, I obviously know that, you know, it's an option for families who have struggled to fall pregnant, and you've got all these heartbreaking stories. But I did think it was just a really expensive sort of process. And for me, it did come across like quite a high maintenance thing to do. Like, in my head, I was like, oh, I would probably just adopt instead. But it's so easy for me to say that, someone who can fall pregnant, like, and it's actually really ignorant. And I think that is because there is that lack of information and lack of real life stories of real surrogacy, like, stories and the families that have, like, aren't rich and famous.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is the right option for them. And I think there is a real lack of that.
Definitely. And there's a lot of people, you know, that say, watch friends or family struggle and they offer to do it. Sometimes with all the goodwill in the world, they don't realise quite what they're offering to do, you know. But it doesn't have to be. I'm not saying if you are going down the gestational surrogacy route, it's a real cheap option or anything like that, because there are costs involved with clinics and, you know, with the expenses and everything like that. However, you know, and you can't always match a surrogate that is you know, located really near to where the intended parents are, so that you factor in quite a lot of travel as well and stuff like that. There are friends and family that do it. There are people, you know, and we support many people. We don't just match. We also offer a support service where if you do already have your surrogate, we will guide you and support you, you know, on your journey as well and stuff like that. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be the really expensive option.
It's nice to know that there are options and there are different ways of doing it. And it's so nice that you're able to support. Say if I decided to be a surrogate for a friend or a family member, I can reach out to you for support through the process, despite you not doing the matching.
Yeah, I mean, we've recently had two stories come out in the newspaper that our intended parents and surrogates have very kindly shared their own story. One, you know, being a teacher that they work together, and another couple, they also work together. One lady has cystic fibrosis and she couldn't carry. They've recently been in the media sharing their stories because as friends and colleagues, they offered to do it because they saw their struggle, but didn't know where to begin. So they came to us for the support and we guided them along, you know, on their journey to help them, you know, sort of. So we still did everything that we would normally do. We just didn't do the introduction. Do you know what I mean? So, like I say, people are very quick and very, very kind to say, yeah, I'll be your surrogate, but people don't then know where to begin. So that's where we help.
I really take my hat off to those people.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar.
Bill is in the house.
I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Your head nothing then, yeah.
Well, maybe it's just a good goth you're after. Georgie Porter and Sharon Carpenter are your go-to girls on Loose Lips.
So it's got mine, girth, though. It's got girth.
Yeah,
mine is quite spindly and flaccid.
This is like long.
Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
Have you ever experienced, I don't know whether with yourself or with other cases where they found it hard to let go? Do you keep in touch with the families, or is there do some families rather adopt the child and get their names on the birth certificate and then choose to then move on from the surrogate? How does that work once the baby's born?
I've never found anybody struggle to hand over a baby. That's the most rewarding and the best bit about it. You know, because it's just such a feeling you can't put into words. So I've never come across that through the whole 11 years I've been in the surrogacy industry myself or with anybody that, you know, I've known on a journey. I think with the parental order going through, again, it's a real special moment and not something that anybody stops to have any hesitations or doubts about. I think, what was there one bit you just asked? I can't remember. My memory, I've got a terrible memory.
No, so I asked about letting go and then also about, well, now I've forgotten.
It's catching. For me, it was baby brain catching.
Yeah, no. For me, it was the main question was like, have you experienced that letting go? Because you see, that's what you see on the soaps and stuff, isn't it? About
the surrogate's going to run off with the baby, or
And then also, do they keep in, you keep in touch with the babies that you give birth to? Or can
that was it. Yeah, sorry. Total blanks. What they? Yeah, no. I've got different relationships with all the intended parents, and we always, when going through the agreement, we always give everybody an option. Would you like to keep in contact? Would you like to just do birthday cards and Christmas cards and the odd photo now and again? I'm very close to one in particular, surrogate baby that I had. It was her birthday yesterday. And I've got an amazing relationship with them. I get constant photo updates. We speak on the phone. We meet up. We haven't been able to meet up for the last year because of COVID and the distance, but we will be meeting up, please God, this summer. The twins I have, again, more with them, it's more of a WhatsApp kind of relationship, birthday cards, Christmas, that sort of thing. More recently, again, with the last little one that I had, again, it's more kind of Christmas birthdays and stuff. We've not seen each other in person for quite a while. I definitely feel that everybody's journey is different as to how they decide what part. I mean, we've had some people that they actually never disclosed they were using a surrogate to friends or family, so therefore they don't want the contact. Others, you know, they love to, and they, you know, they remain very close, and it's lovely. Everyone's different as to the reasons why they've come to it and to who knows and who doesn't. Mm. So, yeah, it completely varies from journey to journey. Again, we get asked a lot, you know, what if the surrogate doesn't want to hand over the baby? But you'd be surprised about the amount of surrogates that ask me, what if the intended parents change their mind? And not many people think of that. And it's not something that you'd ever anticipate anybody doing. But, you know, there is always that question that I get asked, but no one ever thinks of that question, you know.
I guess that's where the whole, there's no legal binding thing in the UK. So it's all based on trust. Whereas maybe if that was there in place, those worries wouldn't be there.
Definitely. And I think legalising it would make it great. It would give people much more of a peace of mind. It would, you know, it would sort of, you know, give people more confidence going into it. The only worry that I have is, will it then, you know, go down the more expensive route and everything? I personally don't like to exploit people that have gone through heartache and profit from that. I couldn't lay on a beach, you know, on someone else's heartache. That's not me. However, there are, you know, other countries that it is commercialized because there are laws in place, but there is a lot more involved to it. There is so much more involved. An American journey blew my mind when it came to starting over there. I didn't have a clue. I was went into it, I was like, oh yeah, let's open one in America. And wow, I was so naive as to what really goes into it. You know, from the pre-birth orders to all the different types of legal contracts and the maintaining the medical release forms and so much more. I can see why agencies do charge that bit more over there. But ultimately, you know, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I'd carry on doing this forever. It doesn't benefit or impact me financially because it's something I love to do. Unfortunately, not everybody has that. You know, a lot of people, again, have the misconception you're buying a baby or, you know, that's another thing that's commonly said. You know, whereas I don't look at it like that, but that's not why I went into surrogacy.
Is there ever a time where you feel like surrogacy is the wrong option for a family?
I mean, everybody that's going through surrogacy, I highly recommend counselling, and clinics, fertility clinics do counselling with the intended parents, with the surrogates, and as a group as well, prior to even getting the green light to start. It's whatever is the right fit for you. I've known people that have started a surrogacy journey and switched to adoption. And again, you know, amazing, you know, those children that need parents out there that, you know, but I think the adoption process is quite a grueling process and quite a tough one that, you know, that's also not for everybody. But I think it's whatever fits for you. And some women don't want to see another woman carry a child if they can't. They would rather go down the adoption route. So I think as long as you've done your research, and I think as long as you've got all your information, you're armed with all the facts to all your different options, then you can make the right decision for you.
Yeah, and what just came to my mind then was, what if you think that surrogacy is right for you and then you see this woman carrying your baby and you're struggling to bond or like feel that bond, especially when the baby arrives? Like, is that why the counselling you think is necessary?
Definitely. I think it's really important. And like I say, I think it's important that everyone is armed with all the facts and everything. And the fact that we encourage people to be as involved. I mean, when COVID hit and they were only allowing the person who was pregnant in with a scan, we made a point of, unless it was exceptional circumstances, we made a point of writing to all the clinics and hospitals our surrogates and intended parents were under, saying surrogacy is an exceptional circumstance. Mm. And even if not both, then at least one intended parent should be allowed in, because it's so important. Those scans, those milestones, you know, they're the highs of the, you know, the whole journey. And we did, luckily enough, they did take that on board, and they did actually allow, you know, sort of one intended parent in.
Okay.
And they did pass it as an exceptional circumstance. I think you know, people have more hesitations prior to the pregnancy. People have more, you know, they always have that worry as a surrogate doing everything that I would do if I was pregnant, or, you know, and following their beliefs. But it's putting your faith and your trust in that person, building a relationship enough prior to her becoming pregnant to trust and know that she is the right surrogate and that she will do everything to make it their journey, not her journey.
Yes, it's not like an overnight thing. It's building that relationship prior to
definitely
that will give you that confidence.
100%.
I can see why being able to bond with the surrogate is so important in bonding with the baby itself.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, even little things. I mean, if the intended parent couldn't, one of the intended parents couldn't get to the antenatal appointments, at the end you have a lot of antenatal, you know, just the heartbeat check and that sort of thing when the midwife comes round or you go there. And, you know, I used to voice record, like, the heartbeat, and I used to send it over on WhatsApp, and you know, we'd have the same app synced up. So they were aware of every same step. And being in the appointments, I'd always make sure that the hospitals and clinics spoke, if possible, with the intended parents rather than me, because I wanted everything to be their decision and their wishes and their choices, you know. Mm.
And I guess you've got to communicate with these parents all the time about how you're feeling, about movement. Like, you know, is it a daily conversation?
Some is. I mean, on my first journey, it was more of a weekly conversation. My second journey, I think, was more daily. And from then on, they were more daily conversations. My last one being very intense constantly, even to the point where they moved in for the last week of the pregnancy into my house.
Wow.
You know, so Yeah, I think it's so important that, you know, everybody is on the same page together and, you know, that they feel like they belong on the journey together and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. I feel like, I guess it depends on how you feel. Obviously, you're made for this because for me, like, there's so much sacrifice from the surrogate, but, like, to enable this, like, for you to, yeah, your home, your body, your emotional state. I mean, after you've given birth to that baby, are you then dealing with the hormones that come with it and the baby blues? Like, what happens to you after that?
Yeah, that happens. And that makes me very conscious as well, you know, with nappy endings as well. I find it so important that, you know, everybody gets the support after, you know, it's not just until the baby's born, it's after as well. And it's really strange when you come home from hospital, especially the first time, because my son never stays out, has never stayed out. He's always been with me. And he stayed at his grandma's on the over the couple of days I was in hospital being induced and having the twins. And I came home from the hospital. My dad dropped me off and I walked in and I was like, wow, this is really strange. Because firstly, as a surrogate, you have people on you, the attention on you from the second you meet. You are their be all and end all. You are their kind of person that they, you know, the appointments, the scans, the checking, are you okay? The constant and all that. And all of a sudden it goes really quiet because they've got their new baby and they're really busy and, you know, and stuff like that. So you do kind of have a bit like, oh, wow, that's all gone really quiet now. And then 2 days later, your hormones kick in and it's you get the baby blues and everything like that, just like any other normal pregnancy. And that's when, excuse me, I feel it's really important to be in touch with that surrogate. And I'm sort of not on their case, but I'm on them constantly. Obviously, a midwife will still check that you're okay and everything like that and, you know, and stuff. But yeah, it's very strange for the first few days, but it soon returns back to normal. And then you've just got that huge high of, wow, I've done that and it was just the best thing ever. And it's addictive and then you want to do it all over again.
Wow. I just think it's fascinating. I think you're incredible, Rachel, honestly.
Oh, thank you. Mad, maybe.
Because I definitely experienced the baby blues with Macy for a few weeks, you know, and she is my own baby and I carried her naturally and, you know, everything went really well. I mean, the pregnancy wasn't comfortable. I had bad pelvic pains for most of it and got flu.
That's awful. I had that SPD.
Yeah, I had SPD. Took me a year to recover from that, but also, like, I got flu 3 times while I was pregnant, which was really hard. Every time I was like,
oh God, yeah,
felt like, oh, this is going well and I'm feeling healthy and active, then I'd get a flu. My immune system like really took a hit. So I didn't really enjoy the pregnancy. And then I feel like my hormones were so intense and I don't know if I could go through all of that to not have a baby at the end of it, because I know you've done it for someone else, but again, that goes to show how selfless you are. And it's also so important for anyone thinking about becoming a surrogate that after.
Yeah, it's definitely not for everybody. No. I mean, it's definitely not something for everyone, you know, in the way that certain other professions aren't for everybody. And it's, you know, I totally understand that. And, you know, that's why I'm real and I'm honest with anybody, surrogate or intended parent, that comes to us regarding what to expect and everything. You know, for me, it's so important. When I was, you know, a surrogate, at one point I was with, the first journey was, I was with an agency, they closed down when, like, 6 weeks into our journey. Another agency I was with, I'd had a miscarriage through and never even heard from them. And I feel that it's so important that, for me, I take things personally in a way that, you know, I'm, you know, if someone needs me at 3 o'clock in the morning, if someone goes into labour or, you know, or they're at home. And during COVID, we had triplets born and, you know, our surrogate was in hospital from quite early on because her waters broke early. So therefore, you know, she wasn't allowed anyone with her. So I was on the phone to her, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I remember the morning she messaged me and said, you know, they're here. And I was like, thank God I can get a night's sleep, like, you know, as if I carried them. But I just want people to know that they've got a friend on the journey. If it's something they want to do, but they're scared that they haven't got the support or they're worried or anything like that, they do have it with me. They have my personal support. I invest 100% into every journey, not as a membership of an agency, not as a corporation, as a friend on a journey with you. And that is what my dream was when I started Nappy Endings.
Oh, it's amazing. And I think that's so reassuring for the parents as well to know that their surrogates are supported so well, because like your mental health is just as important as your physical health. So having that support there,
definitely,
is so essential.
And I've suffered with anxiety and panic attacks myself, so I know what it's like, you know, to not have the best of mental health at times. And, you know, there can be a lot of anxiety around things. And also there for support for the intended parents when they're unsure, or sometimes, you know, they don't want to discuss something, like they might just want to ask a question but not put it on the surrogate directly. They might, you know, want to transfer some money to for her travel, but they don't want to talk money directly, so they can do it through us, you know. And they might want to send her a gift but feel embarrassed about asking. So, you know, again, there's me there sort of like in the middle, so I'm there for them all, like not just the surrogate, but the intended parents need that support as well, definitely.
It's incredible. You should, like, literally be so, I don't want this to sound patronising, but so proud of yourself, Rachel. I think you're an incredible woman for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
And to just supporting these families and the surrogates, like those selfless women who are willing to carry babies for others, is just, for me, like, wow. Like real life angels. And
I was just about to say angels.
Yeah, real life angels. And yeah, you're like mother hen to all of them. I love it. I'm like, oh, my whole perspective on surrogacy has changed just from this 45 minute conversation. I no longer think,
oh, that means everything to me. That's great.
Yeah, I know. I'm no longer going to associate it with Kim Kardashian and, you know,
glad to look like her.
Yeah. And using surrogacy just because I, you know, women might not want to, I say, tarnish their bodies, you know, like the whole body image and bouncing back. I've always associated with that. Oh, I bet rich women are doing it so that they don't have to fall pregnant because they don't want to stretch their tummies. But my whole perspective and ignorance around it has changed, it's gone. And I'm so glad, and I've learned so much from this conversation. Thank you for being such an amazing guest and like informing
my
listeners about your agency and what you do. I just wish you all the best. And I wanted to ask you a final question, what I ask all my guests. So I will ask you too, Rachel. What piece of advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, God, many pieces of advice, probably. I would say take each day a day at a time and stop worrying about what could happen, and, you know, just worry about what is happening right now and never take anything for granted.
Absolutely. Live in the moment.
Live in the moment, definitely, definitely.
Rachel, thank you so much for being a guest on How Are You?
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Lovely chatting.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.